May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's lessons present us with some really awesome images, don't they? First, from the prophet Isaiah, where in our mind's eye, kind of like watching a video, I think, or maybe YouTube, right? We can watch Moses trekking up Mount Sinai to receive the tablets inscribed by God with the law for the people's instruction, as the Lord put it, the Ten Commandments. Several men, representatives of the people, accompany him part of the way, and then God calls Moses to come up and wait. And a gray cloud covers Mount Sinai for 6 days, and Moses waits. And on the seventh day, God calls Moses into the cloud, and the people who are waiting below see a huge fire, the symbol of the presence of the Lord. Can you just imagine it? Clouds and fire. Moses is camping out, waiting on the mountain, and the people below are waiting and watching and wondering, what could be going on up there for 40 days? Do you suppose that after several days, maybe less than a week, and probably far less than 40, they got tired of waiting? Maybe they got bored? Can you hear their complaints? What the heck? I have better things to do. I'm hungry. I'm out of here. Well, we'll just leave them there waiting. And we'll shift to the Gospel of Matthew. Now remember, Matthew is writing for a community of Jewish people who would have been very familiar with that story of Moses' mountaintop meeting with the Lord. Matthew relates a different kind of mountaintop story, this one about Jesus. But the echo of Moses would be clear to Matthew's audience. Three of Jesus' disciples, Peter, James, and John, who seem to sort of constitute his inner circle, go along with him, and they observe another amazing scene. Right before their eyes, Jesus takes on an incredible new appearance. His face, even his clothes, are transformed, and they radiate with a light that's described as bright as the sun. And then suddenly, they see Moses and Elijah alongside Jesus. And those folks who would have been listening to Matthew's gospel would know that those guys, Moses and Elijah, symbolize the law and the prophets. Unlike Moses' clan, though, these disciples don't have time to get bored. And in fact, they'd really like to hang around a little longer. They'd like to savor that moment, just be awestruck by that amazing light. But God's voice booms out. Or I'm thinking, maybe it was a soft and tender voice, proclaiming Jesus as my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Listen, God says. Peter, James, and John, who are totally awestruck by this time, fall on the ground in great fear. And then Jesus acts. Jesus reaches out and touches them firmly, I imagine, but gently, reassuringly. And he says, get up, don't be afraid. Can you picture that great light around Christ? Can you feel his hand on your shoulder? Can you imagine Jesus touching you? Can you hear the voice of God? Don't be afraid. Get up. Come with me now. Down the mountain and onto the roads, into the villages. We have work to do. Peter, James, and John are touched. They're energized, probably also overwhelmed by that awesome power that they have witnessed. They don't fully understand what's going on, that they have just had a glimpse of the glory to come, the glory of Jesus' resurrection. They don't grasp what lies ahead for Jesus or for them. Peter recalls that powerful experience in today's epistle where he writes, "Be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place." If we want to be attentive to God's power in our lives, we also must be present. We must be ready. Sometimes we have to be willing to wait. We need to stay put, to be quiet, to listen. It does take patience. Occasionally, we can discern God's call in an idea that just pops into our brains. At other times, maybe we get a feeling that we can't define, but that we also can't deny. A sense of being drawn forward into something new, something different, and knowing that we just need to do the next thing or take the next step, even though maybe we don't know what it is and we're tentative, even if we can't explain why. For some people, it's more dramatic. I have a friend, a priest, who has told me about her call to her priestly vocation. She was alone in a church and praying at the altar rail when suddenly she said she felt completely surrounded by a bright light and she felt certain she was in the presence of God. And she says she knew then, beyond a doubt, that God was calling her to do something new, to follow a new path, serving God as a priest in God's church. And I've heard others tell of detecting God's intention through experiences in nature or through meditation. And I have to confess to you today that I'm a little envious of those folks, because for me, God's will hasn't been quite that clear. And maybe you feel the same way. For many of us, it seems, we just have to have patience and maybe wait a little longer and keep listening. Jim Woodrum, a brother with the Society of St. John the Evangelist, recently shared a thought about patience in the Daily Word that's published by SSJE. His reflection seems relevant as we ponder today's readings and as we journey toward Lent. Here's what he wrote. You may be heading into Lent not having had an epiphany. That is, you're not sure how God is working in your life. Don't panic. Jesus' inner circle of friends didn't understand it right away either. And like the disciples, you may need to work these things out with Jesus in your prayer. Ask Jesus to shed some light in your life, to transfigure it, and then be patient. That's good advice for all of us. Amen.